This is a sermon from Lutterworth Church. To find out more, visit www.lutterworthchurch.org. As we begin a new year, I want to talk a little bit about expectations. I wonder what expectations you have of 2018. Are you excited? Are you expectant of good things? Are you a little bit worried about who's got their finger on the nuclear red button? Are you concerned about our politics? Are there big events in your life or the life of your family that are coming up that excite you or maybe that worry you? Things that you fear? I want to also talk about the expectations we might have of 2018 spiritually. As you begin a new year, do you come in hoping that things are sort of much the same? Thanks. Or do you come hoping for more? Do you come with expectation or even demand? Or do you kind of, well, not even really ask the question? The problem in Eli's day, as we come to 1 Samuel and chapter 3, is that they weren't really expecting much at all. Do you get that in verse 1? In those days when the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under the direction of Eli, there were very few messages from the Lord, and visions from him were quite rare. You see, this is, remember, God's people, called under Abraham, made into a great nation in Egypt, rescued visibly, obviously, by God's mighty hand, and led to the promised land. They are now in the promised land. And if you think of what you think of when you think promised land, whether you kind of go to some of the scriptural references or you go to Martin Luther King, but we get this idea that when you get to the promised land, it's all going to be wonderful. But the problem is for, probably a few hundred years, I've never actually done the maths, things have gone from really good to really bad and everywhere in between. And right now, under Eli, a priest and leader of God's people, things are all right. They're not great, but they're okay. We meet this young boy Samuel, a miracle baby given to a woman who couldn't have children, and now serving God in the temple. And so it is, we come not just to the people of God, but to right the centre of their life, their religious life, the place where God's people meet God at the temple. And even there, the expectations are so low. And you get this kind of pantomime scene, and forgive me if you know it really well, but I'd love to see it acted out one day. You know, there's a young boy, and he's having a sleep, and he hears his voice. And he thinks, well, the only other person around is Eli. He's the only person who calls me. He says, Samuel, Samuel. He wakes up and he goes to Eli and he says, yes, you called me, Master? And you can imagine what Eli roused from sleep, blinking his eyes, thinking, what? No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Go back to bed. Off you go. Samuel goes back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. And he wakes up again. He's a good servant, isn't he? He gets up, goes to Eli, and this time Eli's just got back into bed after his third trip to the loo that night, just fallen asleep, and then the boy is there again. Yes, yes, sir, what do you need? Here I am. I didn't call you, just go back to bed, sleep. And it's a third time, it always takes a third time, doesn't it? A third time the voice comes, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel goes to Eli. Only then does this leader of God's people, the person in charge of the temple, think maybe in God's temple, God's speaking. Maybe this isn't just some weird dream or his imagination. Maybe this might be God. And I says, okay, go back. And next time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. See, the expectations were so low. And you wonder about Eli. Eli, who had been, for the most part, a good leader. And you wonder why his expectations were so low. Was he just going through the motions? And do we sometimes just go through the motions? You know, when you thought this morning, oh, I'll go to church this morning, did you think, I'm really excited about what God's going to say? Or did you think, well, of course that's what I do on a Sunday? Or just been dragged by the person sitting next to me? Or you think, well, I've got nothing better to do? Or if we go to the earliest, if we go in the morning, then we can go out in the afternoon. Do we come with expectations, or do we just go through the motions? And I think it's so easy. I don't mean to say this judgmentally, and I'm pointing the finger. It's so easy, I tell you. When it's your job, it's sometimes even easier. You see, if I didn't turn up here on a Sunday, there'd be, well, the problem is you'd all come and knock on my door, wouldn't you, going, what's going on? Can't even blame the snow this week. It's so easy just to slip into doing it because that's what you do. And I wonder if that's what happened to Eli. And this story might be familiar to you, particularly if you've been in church for a while, but I wonder if you had properly listened to the second half of the chapter. You see, this young boy is given this message from God, eventually, when he actually says, okay, I'm listening now. And he's given really bad news. Really bad news for Eli. So bad, in fact, that in the morning he doesn't want to tell Eli what it was about. Such low expectations, but those expectations God blew out of the water. So, in fact, when we come to the New Testament and to our reading from John's Gospel, you see, it had been at least 400 years since the end of the Old Testament until the beginning of the New Testament, when one old couple is promised they're going to have a son who's going to be John the Baptist eventually and lead and prepare the way for the Messiah. Another young couple are told they're being given the Messiah to raise. But there'd been centuries of comparative silence. And then along comes a man and he says to Philip and to others, come, follow me. And so they had very little expectations. In fact, I love this, that Philip goes and tells his friend Nathanael, they're both good Jews, he says, look, I found the one that Moses promised, the one that all the prophets point to, he's here. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, and it'd be hard, really, without kind of over-dramatising, to try and get something of the passion, excitement that he must have felt. These were people who had held on to that expectation, that hope. He goes, it's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, he's got pretty low expectations. He's sort of judging some other place, just as President Trump did this week. What, could anything good come from there? And he goes along and he meets him. And Jesus knows Nathanael. And Nathanael says, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't cleared the temple. He hasn't died for our sins. He hasn't even done all that much amazing teaching or hasn't raised anyone from the dead yet. But Nathanael sees that this is the one who was promised. And there are two things I want to take us to. One is the expectations that we might have of this year. The expectations we might have as we open our Bibles and we struggle through some of those difficult texts. Or we just return to the familiar ones. Are we expecting God to speak? Are we expecting him to do all the things he's promised, even if those promises seem distant? But so too, when he does speak, will we respond? You see, if you think, God had to call out four times, three times that were misunderstood, and only one where eventually Samuel knew what to do. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Though when God speaks, it demands a response. His voice demands that we do something. And as we begin this year, what I've done is I've prepared something that I hope will be helpful to you as part of stopping and thinking and reflecting. And I've got a stack of these that I'll leave at the back. I've got a letter that explains it. But the idea is that I've just made this little questionnaire. And the idea of the questionnaire is something that you can take and just spend probably about an hour with a pen and paper and just think about what you're expecting. Are you expecting God to speak? Are you expecting it to happen? Or are you just going through the motions? You see, God speaks to us, but also he demands a response. He says, come follow me. And that call doesn't end when we sort of say, okay, I'm going to believe in God. It's not going to end until we're with him forever. And the call on us each year, whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or 4 months, or frankly, even if you're still sort of dipping your toe, is to keep becoming more like Jesus, to keep walking in his footsteps more faithfully each day. So what I've done is I've gone through and I've got some resources from other places to kind of help with the ideas, but given us a chance to reflect and examine ourselves, as we do actually at the beginning of every service, to say, you know, am I more generous than I was a year ago? Am I more willing to help others? Do I know or understand more about God? Am I more excited about learning about God than I used to be? And I hope that it's a really helpful thing to you. I've done it myself, and in previous years I've done a similar kind of self-examination. You don't want to do too much all the time, because then it's sort of this navel-gazing and it's kind of pointless, but just once a year, just to stop and pray and say, God, show me what I'm like and show me how I can grow. I tell you, one of the things I find about being married and living in a family is your faults are very obvious to other people. They are obvious to you when they are pointed out, sometimes in helpful ways, sometimes in less helpful ways. And if we love those people around us, we would want to change. But if you've ever tried to change, you'll find it's not very easy. It takes time, it takes effort. And the idea here is that we say, okay, I don't want to be as selfish as I used to be. I want to be more like Jesus, the one who gave himself. I don't want to just be so busy that I haven't got time really to do what's most important. Every year I start some sort of new way of trying to discipline my time to make sure that I'm coming to God first of all and walking his ways. And I really don't want us to be like Eli, so familiar with the things of God that we get complacent and go through the motions. But instead to be like Philip and Nathaniel, eager and excited, because we have a God who loves us and knows us and wants to help us be the best versions of ourselves. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us this year. Raise our expectations of what you can do in us, of how much we can grow to be like Jesus. Help us to hear your voice and to respond. And we do pray that both as individuals and as a church, we would more and more reflect your kingdom. And so give us your grace by the power of the Spirit. Amen.